conference will now be recorded.
In Parashas Kisisa, we know the Parasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Luchas Rishonis, and then Klal Yisrael was worshipping the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu came down, Kishiches Amcha, your nation has corrupted, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the first Luchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens to destroy Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu entreaties Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moichel Klal Yisrael to a large extent, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers Moshe Rabbeinu to come back up the mountain for another 40 days and receive the second Luchais. Psolacha. You should carve out for yourself another pair of Luchais, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we're going to rewrite. We're going to rewrite the first Luchais, and we'll give the Luchais again. We'll give a second chance to Klal Yisrael. And as the Mefarshim explain, Moshe Rabbeinu sees this as an opportune time. It's an Eis Ratzon. Because after all, a minute earlier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was threatening to destroy Klal Yisrael. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally relented, so to speak, and is giving them another chance. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that this is an opportune time. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that this is an opportune time. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that it's an opportune time. Oh, come on. You can turn on. Excuse me. Turn on the air conditioner. You take a seat. Okay, bring up a chair. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that it's an opportune time. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I want to see your face. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants more. He wants a promise. So we know the parasha in Parashas Kisisa. The pasuk says, "Vayered Hashem ba'anan," that Hashem came down in a cloud. Vayisyatziv imayisham, and he stood there. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself, kaviyachol, called out in the name of Hashem. Vayavur Hashem alponov, Hashem passed his face, passed Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra, and he called out. And these are the yud gimel midas. These are the 13 attributes that we say in the Slichos, and we know in the Svar Tzidr, we say it every morning after Shmona Esrei. So we say the following, Vayikra, Hashem called out, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed, V'emes, Noitzer Chesed La'alofim, Noisei Ovoin, V'fesha V'chato'o, V'nake. And that's what we say out. So we say Hashem's name twice, Hashem, Hashem. We know that Hashem's name is the midah of rachamim, the attribute of mercy. Kael. Kael is Hashem is all-powerful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses his power to consistently take care of us, consistently nourish the world. Rachum, Hashem has another kind of compassion. If we deserve it, if we do tshuva. V'chanon, and Hashem is merciful, which means a matnas chinam. Even if we don't deserve it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chanon. Erech Apayim, Hashem holds back his anger. Rav Chesed, Hashem is all merciful, that if we're in the balance, Hashem tips the scale in our favor. The Emes, Hashem is true, which is actually the Midas Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to run the world with Midas Hadin, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu added the Midah of Rachamim. Noitzer Chesed La'alofim, Hashem keeps his Chesed lasting for 2,000, at least 2,000 generations. Noisei, he bears avoin, he bears deliberate sins, pesha, he bears even rebellious sins, mechato, and he carries our mistaken sins, v'nake, and he completely cleanses us. And then the pasuk continues, lo yinake, that if the person refuses to do tshuva, Hashem will not cleanse. He visits the sins of the fathers onto the children, and onto the grandchildren, for 3 or 4 generations. If we repent, Hashem keeps the chesed for thousands of generations. If we don't, then Hashem bears the iniquity. He visits the sin upon even four generations. The just to mention, we have 13 attributes. There's actually an argument in the Mefarshim what the 13 attributes are. Some say that the 13 attributes are, we say Hashem's name twice, Hashem, and then we say Hashem again, that's two, and we'll soon see what those two mentions of Hashem are referring to. Kael is three, Rachum is four, Chanun is five, Erech Apayim, he holds back anger, is six, Rav Chesed is seven, Emes is eight, Noitzer Chesed La'alofim, he keeps the Chesed for thousands of generations, is nine, Noisei Oboim Bapesha V'chatot, he carries these three types of sin, is 12, Enake, and he purifies us. Those are that's the conventional understanding of what the 13 midas of Rachamim are. Other Mefarshim say that repeating Hashem's name twice is not considered two different midos of mercy. So we're back down to 12. So what's the 13th one? There's an argument. There are different ideas here. One idea is that Erech Apayim should not be translated that he holds back anger. Rather, it means he holds back his face, his countenance. And this actually refers to two distinct attributes. And this makes up the 13th one. One attribute is that, ironically, for tzaddikim, he does not reward them in this world. He saves their reward for the next world. And that way they don't use up the credit that they accrued during this world. And they'll get the full reward, the full spiritual reward, the closeness to Hashem in the next world. And these are the two attributes. For Rishayim, for the wicked, on the contrary. He's Erech Apayim. He withholds his face and does not punish them immediately. He gives them a chance to do tshuva. And for the righteous, he withholds the reward in order to give them the true reward in the next world. That's the two midos. Erech Apayim is two. Another explanation where the 13th midah is Noitzer Chesed La'alofim. These are actually two different midos, because the pasuk concludes that a sin will only last, will only be visited the most four generations. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu watches the Chesed, he reserves the kindness, and he keeps it for 2,000 generations, which is 500 times more than what the sin does. The impact of the sin is much less than the impact of a mitzvah. And that itself is two midos. Our mitzvahs make an impact, and Hashem keeps the chesed. And number two, it's 500 times more than the effects of a sin. And that's the two midos right there. There's a powerful Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Yud Zayin on day 17b. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Il Mole Mikra Kasuch, if the Pasuk would not have expressed itself this way, it would be impossible for us to say such a thing. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed before Moshe and Hashem himself declared these 13 attributes of mercy. Had it not been for the verses of the Torah, it would be impossible for us to say such a thing. A powerful Gemara. Milamed, this teaches us, Shenes Atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he put on a talis. He wrapped himself as if he was a Shliach Tzibur. Veheraloi LaMoshe Seder Tfila, and he showed Moshe this order, this formula, this order of prayer. Omraloi, Hashem said to Moshe, Kozman she Yisrael Chaitin, whenever the Jewish people sin, Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh, they should perform this order. They should perform this order. V'ani Moichel Lehem, and Hashem says, I promise to forgive them. Now the Gemara tells us why the name of Hashem is repeated twice. Hashem, Hashem. Why is the name of Hashem, the same word, repeated twice? The Gemara tells us, Anihu Kaidim Shiachat HaAdam, I am Hashem, the attribute of mercy, before the person sins, V'anihu La'achar Shiachat HaAdam, and I also demonstrate, I display the attribute of mercy after the person sins, V'yasek Shuvah, and he performs Shuvah. The Mefarshim ask, why? I understand why Hashem has to show the attribute of mercy after the person sins. Hashem helps us through tshuva, and Hashem returns to us, and he helps us return to him. Why does Hashem have to show us the attribute of mercy before we sin? Before we sin, we haven't done anything wrong. Why do we require mercy? So the Talmud Dvar explains beautifully, because Hashem knows that we're going to sin. He knows the future. And he still gives us the ability. He sustains us and gives us the ability even while we're sinning. He's supplying us with the energy, with the life, with the vitality to live. And we're using that gift to flaunt his will. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu continues supplying us even before we sin, meaning he knows we're going to sin and he sustains us and he supports us anyway. This is the attribute of mercy, the way it expresses itself before we sin and the way it expresses itself after we sin. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bris krusa liyudgimu midais. The Pasuk says, Hinei anoichi koiris bris, right after the Torah describes the psukim of the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem is expressing the Yud Gimel Midos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinei anoichi koiris bris, I am cutting a covenant. I am creating a covenant, a treaty between myself and the Jewish people. And says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, there's a promise here that the Yud Gimel Midos, when we recite and when we perform these Yud Gimel Midos, they're not turned away empty-handed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that they're successful, as they were in the story of the Ego. A beautiful, a powerful Gemara. We're going to get back to some of the messages and some of the inspiration of this Gemara. Let's first look at how the Rishonim and the Poskim look at the Yud Gimel Midos, how they treat it from a halachic perspective. There's an interesting Tshuvas HaRashba. It's brought in the Tur. Chelek Aleph, in the first volume of the Tshuvas HaRashba, the response from one of the early commentaries, the Rashba, Rav Shlomo ben Anderes, Simin Reish Yud Aleph, it's response of 211. He asked the following question. Im yachid yachol la'omroi b'yachidus. Can an individual, can a private person, when he's not with a minyan, can he recite the Yud Gimel Midos? You know, very often, unfortunately, not very often, but it sometimes happens that we're waking up early to come to shul for the slichas, and we don't have a minyan. The minyan doesn't come yet, and we wait a bit, and then we decide we have to go, we have to continue, we have to start. And can we recite the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of mercy, if we do not have a minyan? So the Rashba answers, tshuva, the Rashba answers the following answer. Mistabra li, says the Rashba, it appears to me, it's reasonable to me, shekol, it depends, says the Rashba, it depends. Shekol sha'oimram derech tfila u'bakashas rachamim, if we're reciting the Yud Gimel Midos, after all, the Yud Gimel Midos, these 13, this formula, this prayer, is psukim in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Chumash. You're always allowed to read a pasuk in Chumash. You don't require a minyan to read a pasuk in Chumash. Says the Rashba, it depends. If you're reading these verses as a prayer, as a supplication, and we're trying to utilize the power of the Yud Gimel Midos as a prayer, ein nemarim b'yachid, it cannot be said privately. U'kedavr shebekedusha hein, it's a davr shebekedusha. Just as we understand, we can't recite the Chazaras Hashatz. We can't repeat the Shemona Esrei without a minyan. We can't lane without a minyan. We can't say Baruch Hu. We can't say Kaddish, Kedusha. It's a davr shebekedusha. It's something that can only be said in the presence of 10 men. It's a davr shebekedusha. It has to be said in the presence of the Shechina. That's how powerful those things are. So says the Rashba, the Yud Gimel Midos that we recite in Shul is a davr shebekedusha. It's said when the Shechina, when the Divine Presence is there. When the 10 men gather together and the Divine Presence is there, that's when we can say the Yud Gimel Midos. And here's the, how does the Rashba know that these Yud Gimel Midos, when they're said as a prayer, it's a davar shebekedusha? So the Rashba cites the Gemara that we just quoted. K'moisha amru ba'agada, just like it says in the Agadato, in the Agadic Gemara that we just read. Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shliach tzibor, it says that Hashem wrapped himself in a talis, as it were, like a chazin, like he was leading the congregation in prayer. V'hereu l'moshe b'sinai, and Hashem displayed, he demonstrated this before Moshe at Har Sinai. V'omar kol zman shi Yisrael choytim, whenever the Jewish people sin, k'shegia eis tzara, when they reach a time of tragedy, of crisis, yasu l'fonai k'seder hazeh, they should perform this order of prayer, and I will forgive them. What do we see from the Gemara? The Gemara mentions it in passing. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis like a chazan, leading the congregation. So says the Rashba, we see from this that when Hashem demonstrated the way to recite this powerful prayer, he said it as a shliach tzibur. But it's not just a beautiful Gemara, a story. The Rashba derives a halachic principle from here, that the Yud Gimel Midos are a Dover Shebekdusha, it's like Kedusha, even though it's ultimately a pasuk in the Chumash, but it's like Kedusha, it's like sanctifying Hashem's name. We require the divine presence in order to say this. However, says the Rashba, Avalimbola Amru came derech Kriya Ba'alma, but if you want to just recite the verses, we don't have a minyan, and you want to just recite the verses as if they're simple verses in the Chumash, not with the power, not in the context of the prayer of the Yud Gimel Midos, then says the Rashba, you're allowed to, just as you can recite the psukim that we say in the Kedusha as mere psukim in the Torah. It'll lose its potency as the prayer of Yud Gimel Midos, but if for some reason you want to recite these verses just as verses, then that you could do. But if you're reciting it as the prayer, if you're trying to access the power of the Yud Gimel Midos, that can only be said with a minyan. Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe says, how do you define if we're saying it as a tefillah or if we're saying it as merely reciting the verses? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, it's in Igros Moshe Yoredeya Chilek Gimel, the third volume of the Igros Moshe, at the end of Simen Chaf Aleph, the end of Response at 21. Says Rav Moshe that although the Poskim mentioned reading it with the trup, reading it the way you read the Sefer Torah, he says that's not necessary. It just has to be read the way you would read psukim, in a monotone or with the nigun of learning, not the nigun Vayikra Hashem al panah Vayikra. You can't read it that way. If we don't have a minyan, you read it as a simple pasuk. And then another idea, Rav Moshe says, that it would seem to him that if you are reciting it now as simple verses, you should recite the entire pasuk. When we say it in shul, we end off v'nake. But says Rav Moshe, if you're not reading it as a prayer, if you're simply reading verses in the Chumash, then you would have to read the entire verse. V'nake, lo yenake, poiket avon albonois, avois albonim, mi'al b'nei banim, al shuleishim al ribeyim. You would have to read the entire pasuk until the end, because you're not reading it as a prayer, you're reading it simply as verses in the Chumash. That's what Rav Moshe says. And this is the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tur in Orach Chaim, Tav Kuf Samech Hei, also brings from the Rav Nosson, the Baal HaOrach, an early commentary, the Ein Yochad Yochad La'omrei, that is, you cannot say these verses in private. They have to be said with a minyan. But the Tur himself, the Tur was the son of the Rush, the Tur himself argues and quotes the Tur, Eina yodea mach shash yesh bedavar. I don't see a problem saying these verses privately. Shari eina elak akur b'Torah, because they're just psukim in the Torah. Shari le omru chachamim elak kol dar v'shevek kedusha. The Tur argues on the Rashba that the only time we find in the Gemara that you require a minyan is if it's truly a davish kedusha, like kaddish and kedusha and barful. But it doesn't say anywhere, and if you would go through the entire Gemara, it doesn't say anywhere that reciting the prayer of the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of mercy, it doesn't say anywhere that it's a davish kedusha or that it requires a minyan. So we actually have a dispute in the early commentaries. The Rashba and Rabbeinu Nosson, the Rav Nosson Baal HaOrach, both say that this takes on the form of a Davrish Shevik Dusha. It's like Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu. What's the Rashba's proof? Because when Hashem showed us this prayer, he said it as a Shliach Tzibur. He said it as leading the congregation. The Torah says that we don't find anything more substantial than that in the Gemara requiring a minyan. It's not listed among the things that require a minyan. And it's not a Davrish Shevik Dusha. So it's a Machlekes. The Shibuli Aleket, who's another early commentary, he says another reason why we need a minyan. It's very interesting. His reason is not because it's a davar shebekdusha. It's another reason why we need a minyan. And he says the following: because when the congregation gathers together and the congregation is fasting, and we're giving charity, It's like a mass, we're mobilizing to do a communal tshuva. Umevakshen rachamim, and we're beseeching Hashem for mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachim aleim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy. Ve'enu mayis tfiyasim shel rabim, and he does not reject the prayer of the congregation, of the community. Ve'koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sealed a covenant, like we mentioned, with the Jewish people and with Moshe Rabbeinu. She'enu chayz v'sreikam, that he will never reject our prayer. So says the Shmuel Yalaket, you see from the Gemara, similar to the Rashba, but not because it's a Davar Shebek Dusha, but because part and parcel of the power of the Yud Gimel Midas is that it's a communal getting together and beseeching Hashem for mercy. So we require a minyan not so much because it's a Davar Shebek Dusha, not for the technical reason that we require the Shechina there, but rather because having a community present is part and parcel of the power, the potency of the Yud Gimel Midas. I saw some poskim, they wonder, we normally don't count women as part of a minyan, it's based on psukim, a davar shebe kedusha, we have a pasuk, you require 10 men. Can women, the question was asked, that imagine a girl's seminary or a girl's high school, there are girls there, they're davening, they don't have 10 men, they're davening together. We're not saying that we should mix the men and women together, we're saying that if you have a seminary, a high school, girls, women are davening together, it's not a Davar Shebek Dusha. Can they recite the Yud Gimel Midos? So, according to the Rashba, it's a Davar Shebek Dusha. It's like saying Kaddish and Kedusha. It can only be recited in the presence of 10 men. According to the Tor says that these psukim can be said on their own, even you don't need a minyan at all. According to the Shibboleth Leket, there are those who wonder that perhaps 10 women could say these verses, because the reason we require a tzibor is not because of a davar shebek dusha, which normally requires 10 men. It's simply because the power of the Yud Gimel Midas is in the rabbin, is when the community, when a group of people get together. And it doesn't say anywhere that a group has to be specifically men. When it's a davar shebek dusha, it has to be men. But when it's the power of a rabbin, when it's the power of a group, perhaps you would not need to have 10 men. That's a question in the post. Halacha l'maisa, the bottom line, the halacha is that we're strict, we treat this strictly, we treat it like a davar shebe kedusha, which is the Rashba's opinion, that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, we require 10 men in order to recite the Yud Gimel Midas. There's a fascinating Ramah, this is item Vav in the notes, the Ramah says in Hilchas Tainus, Tavkuf Samechei, that not only can you recite the Yud Gimel Midas as a prayer privately, you can't even say Slichos privately. Now this happens all the time. We don't paskin like this. We paskin that you could recite the other verses, the other Tachanunim, the other supplications. That's certainly not a Davar Shebek Dusha, and that could be recited privately. In practically speaking, what happens is, if we don't have a minyan in the morning, we start the slichas. As soon as the 10th man walks in, we make sure to say three psukim, and we recite a kaddish right then and there. And then we go on with the slichas. And if there's another opportunity to say the 13 attributes, we do. We start the slichas without a minyan. We just don't recite the Yud Gimel Midas without a minyan. But the Ramah, interestingly enough, says that even a yachid, even an individual, doesn't even say the slichas. Now, the slichas is certainly not a davar shebek dusha. So the Mishnah Brura there brings, in Tzivkat and Yud Gimel, this is in Hilchos Tainus, Mishnah Brura in Tzivkat and Yud Gimel brings, but the Achronim Tamu, the later commentaries, are baffled by the ruling of the Ramah. What could possibly be the issue with the rest of the Yud Gimel Midas? Why can't we recite the regular slichas privately? Why can't the slichas be recited privately? It's only tachanunim. It's merely supplication. It's not at all a davar shebek dusha. And the ruling is that a yachid, the slichas themselves, all the psukim, all the supplications can be recited privately without a minyan. We only have to wait for the minyan for the Yud Gimel Midas. How do we understand the Ramah? We don't rule like the Ramah. We don't follow the Ramah's ruling in this case. But how do we understand the ruling of the Ramah that a Yachid doesn't even say the Slichas? And what's the message here? So there's a Lavush, another Poisik, there's a Lavush, a beautiful Lavush, who explains the structure of the Slichas that we say every morning during the Aseret Yemei, leading up to Rosh Hashanah and during the Aseret Yemei. What the Lavush is actually trying to explain is why after the Slichas do we say a full Kaddish, a Kaddish with Tiskabel. We normally only say the Kaddish with Tiskabel, Tzlosan, Va'osan after a Shmona Esrei. Why do we recite the full Kaddish? We could say a mourner's Kaddish, we could say Hef Kaddish, but why do we recite a full Kaddish after the Slichas? So Lavush says like this, and it's a beautiful Lavush, a powerful Lavush. Says the Lavush, Seder Slichas, the order of the Slichas, Niskan al Seder Hatfila Shal Yoyim. It was meant to follow the pattern. It was patterned after the order of Tfilah of the day. It's like a Shachris. Ki apsukim shekoidim Slichas, the verses that we say before Slichas, Heim Kineged Psukei Dezimra, they correspond to the Psukei Dezimra that we say in the beginning of the davening. The Slichas themselves, with the Yud Gimel Midas, he says, takes the place of Shmona Esrei. And then explains the Lavush, that's why we say Tachanun after we say the Slichas. We always end off with Tachanun, we sit down, we lean on our arm, we bow in supplication, because just as after completing a Shmona Esrei, it's an opportune time to supplicate before Hashem with a Tachanun, so too, after the Slichas, the Yud Gimel Midas, that's an opportune time to say a Tachanun. And we say Tachanun after the Yud Gimel Midas, just as we would say Tachanun after a full-fledged Shmona Esrei. Says the Lavush, that's why we say Kaddish Shalem after the Slichas, because the Slichas follows the format. It's like a microcosm, it's like a mini Ikshir Davening. The Psukim that prefaced the Yud Gimel Midas is the Psukim de Zimra. The Yud Gimel Midas takes the place of the Shmona Esrei. It has the central location of the Slichas. That's like the Shmona Esrei. It follows with a Tachanun, just as we always say Tachanun after Shmona Esrei. And then we're allowed to follow with the Kaddish Tiskabel. So it's a beautiful Lavush. It gives us a whole different outlook, a way of looking and a way of appreciating the Slichas, that the Slichas itself is like a whole nother tefillah. On Yom Kippur, we have 5 tefillahs. On Rosh Hashanah, we have 4. We have a Musaf. All the days of Slichas leading up to Rosh Hashanah, leading up to Yom Kippur, it's as if there's a whole nother davening that's being incorporated into our tefillah. The Slichas, the Tachanunim, are the Psukim de Zimra. The Yud Gimel Midas is the Shmona Esrei, followed by a Tachanun, and finally followed by a Kaddish Tiskabel. That's what the Lavush, how he explains the order, the pattern of the Slichas. It actually has a ramification of Mahalacha. Says the Prima Gavin, and brought in Item Ches, that just as if you have a minion for the Shmona Esrei, and then for one reason or another we lose the minion, you're still allowed to recite the Kaddish Tiskabel afterwards, even though we no longer have a minion, because we look at the Kaddish as a continuation of the Shmona Esrei, and the rule is that whatever we started with a minion, we're allowed to complete that unit, although we lost the minion. So says the Prima Gadim, based on the understanding of the Lavush, that the Kaddish Tiskabel is following the Slichas the way a Kaddish follows the Shmona Esrei, just as when it comes to davening, when we had a minion for the Shmona Esrei, we can conclude with the Kaddish even if we no longer have the minion that we started with. So too, says the Prima Gadim, we're allowed to conclude with the Kaddish Tiskabel even if we lost the minion after having recited the Yud Gimel Midas. That's how strong the parallel is between the Slichas and between the format of an everyday Shacharis, Psukei Dezimra, Shmona Esrei, Tachanun, and Kaddish Tiskabel. So perhaps we can explain the Ramah. The Ramah says that if we don't have a minion to recite the Yud Gimel Midas, and we're not going to be saying the centerpiece of the Slichas, the Yud Gimel Midas, which is like the Shmona Esrei, then says the Ramah, a Yachid doesn't say Slichas, because the Slichas are not in their own right. They're a hakdama. They're a preface, like a psuki de zimra, to the Shmona Esrei. If for one reason or another, a person would not be reciting the Shmona Esrei, he would not recite a psuki de zimra with the Baruch Sha'amar and the Ishtaveh, because it's meant to be a hakdama, a prelude for the Shmona Esrei. That perhaps can be a way of understanding the Ramah, together with this Levush, to answer the Mishnah Berurah's question, what could possibly be wrong with a Yachid saying the Slichas? According to this, a Yachid is permitted to say the Slichas, even according to the Ramah, but it's almost that there's no point, because the Slichas is a prelude to the Yigim Umidus. Although that's not the Halacha is that we do, a Yachid, we do recite the Slichas privately. If a person can't make it to Shul, or if even in Shul, if the Minyan has not yet arrived, we could start the Slichas and we can recite the Slichas. It's only a Takanunim, it doesn't require a Minyan. However, the message is there that the Slichas was designed to follow the pattern of a Shachris. It's almost like we're incorporating, we're adding another davening in preparation for the Yamim Leroy. Another question that comes up in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the halacha is, imagine if a person is reciting the Kriyat Shema, or he's in the brachas of the Kriyat Shema, Yitzeoru v'Recheshek, and he came late, he's behind, and the tzibor is saying Kaddish, or they're saying Kedusha. He's in the back, and he's reciting Kriyat Shema, and the tzibor is reciting Kedusha. What should he do? Should he interrupt his Kriyat Shema, or his brachas, in order to answer along with the congregation the Kedusha? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Simen Samach Vav Sif Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Yutes, in the citation 19, says the Mishnah Berurah that the individual who's not holding with everybody else, he's saying Kriyat Shema, nevertheless he should interrupt what he's doing and he should respond along with the Tzibor to say the Kedusha. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Achronim, because it's a Davrish Shavikdusha. Since it's a Davrish Shavikdusha, since it's something that can only be said in the presence of a minion, therefore that justifies interrupting his Kriyat Shema and responding to the Kedusha. Explains the Mishnah Berurah that in honor of Hashem, in honor to participate in the Davrish Shavikdusha, in sanctifying Hashem's name publicly, that justifies interrupting the Kriyat Shema or the Brachas, reciting the Kedusha, and then going back to where you left off and continuing the Kriyat Shema or the Brachas, whatever you were involved with until now. So the Poskim have a suffix. The Poskim debate whether if a person is in the middle of Kriyat Shema or in the middle of the Brachas of Kriyat Shema, and the Tzibor is reciting the Yud Gimel Midas. Now, probably like a Aseres Yemei Teshuva or leading up to Rosh Hashanah, it's not so common because we say the Slichas before the davening. So why would an individual be in the middle of Kriyat Shema and the rest of the congregation is saying the Slichas? Perhaps it could be a scenario where there's multiple minyanim, one after another. I saw the Poskim discuss by the Kosel where there are minyanim all over the place. So you might be doing your thing and you might overhear a different tzibor saying the Yud Gimel Midas, but this could come up in our minyan, and this could come up every day, because a person might have come late, he's saying the Shema, or he's behind, and the Tzibor is saying the Yud Gimel Midas after the Shmona Esrei, because in our minyan, we say the Yud Gimel Midas every day. So this it could be relatively common for a person to be behind, should he interrupt. So let's first speculate what we would say, based on what we've just learned. According to the Tur holds that the Yud Gimel Midas is a prayer that does not require a minyan. It's not a Davar Shebekdusha. So certainly, we would not compare the Yud Gimel Midas to Kaddish or Kedusha. The Mishnah Berurah specifically says that we only interrupt the Kriyat Shema or the Brachas because it's a Davar Shebekdusha. According to the Shibboleth Leket says you do require a minyan. But he doesn't emphasize that it's a Davar Shebekdusha. He says that the power of the prayer is with the Rabin. And as we mentioned before, the Poskim even entertain that you don't require a minyan of men. According to Shibboleth Leket as well, we don't have a precedent that you would interrupt the Kriyat Shema in order to respond and say the Yud Gimel Midas along with the congregation. But according to the Rashba, which is how we pass it, that the Yud Gimel Midas is actually a Dovrishe Bekdusha. So, simply, we would imagine that just as we should interrupt the Kriya Shema in order to say Kaddish and Kedusha with the Tzibor, and the reason given is because it's a Dovrishe Bekdusha, so we would assume that we should interrupt our Kriya Shema for the Yud Gimel Midas as well, because it's a Dovrishe Bekdusha. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that he didn't see anything about this. He's just speculating on his own. I mean, Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion is worth its weight in gold. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein that a very fascinating distinction, and also it has a powerful message. Kaddish and Kedusha, no matter how many times you recited Kaddish or Kedusha, every time you hear the congregation saying a Kedusha, you might have davened already. If you hear the congregation saying Kedusha, you have an obligation to respond along with the Tzibur. Why? Because it's an obligation to publicly sanctify Hashem's name. It's a Dovrishe Bekdusha. This is something that's said in the presence of 10 men. Kadosh, 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 we're sanctifying. It's an opportunity to sanctify Hashem's name publicly. And there's an obligation to do so at every opportunity. You can't say, well, I said it already. You have an obligation every time the opportunity arises. That's when it comes to what we normally refer to as a Dovrishe Bekdusha. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein a fascinating distinction. The Yud Gimel Midas, even if we hold like the Rashba, which is how we paskin, that it's a Dovrishe Bekdusha in the sense that it can only be recited in the presence of 10 men, because we require the Shechina to be present in order to have the privilege to say the Yud Gimel Midas. Nevertheless, it's not an obligation. We're not sanctifying Hashem's name. It's a tefillah. It's a prayer. We're asking for ourselves. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, we don't have a precedent. We don't have like anything to compare it to. Because although we are referring to it as a Dovrishe Bekdusha in the sense that you require 10 men, nevertheless, there's no requirement to say the Yud Gimel Midas. It's something that's good for us. It's something that we want to beseech Hashem for atonement. But we can't say we're required to say it. So Rav Moshe is not sure. Rav Moshe says that in his opinion, we should not interrupt saying the Shema or the Brachas in order to respond along with the Tzibor and respond to the Yud Gimel Midas. When it comes to Kaddish and Kedusha, there's an obligation to respond because we have to, it's so to speak, it's for Hashem. It's to show honor to Hashem. We have to respond, we have to honor Hashem publicly. But when it comes to Yud Gimel Midas, it's a powerful prayer that requires a Rabbin, but it's not an obligation, so we can't interrupt. However, says Rav Moshe Feinstein a beautiful idea, that the more, like the Shiboli Aleket says, the more people that are participating in Yud Gimel Midas, the bigger the merit and the greater the chance that Hashem will answer. So if you're at a time when you're allowed to interrupt, you're not in the middle of the Kriya Shema, you're just there, you're learning or you're doing something else, where there's no prohibition to respond to what the congregation is saying, the minhag is, says Rav Moshe, there would be a mitzvah to respond because you're increasing the merit of the tzibur. So on the one hand, there's no obligation for anyone to say the Yud Gimel Midas, and therefore we can't interrupt what we're doing when we'd be prohibited to interrupt otherwise. But if we're at a point when we're allowed to interrupt, then Rav Moshe Feinstein says it would be a tremendous mitzvah to do so, because the more the merrier. The Shiboli Leket says that the power of the Yud Gimel Midas is in the Rabbin, is in the community. If the community gets together to daven, so that is what guarantees that Hashem responds, Hashem forgives us and responds to our prayer. The power of the tefillah of the Rabbin, Hashem doesn't reject the tefillah of the Rabbin. The more people are participating, the greater the chance, the greater the merit that Hashem will answer our tefillahs. That's how Rav Moshe looks at the Yud Gimel Midas. To conclude, there's a beautiful idea from the Ein Yankov on Rosh Hashanah in the Agadata. The Gemara tells us that there's a bris krusa, that there's a promise. Hashem cut a treaty that whenever we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, they'll never be rejected and won't be answered. So asks the Ein Yankov, Rabbi Makshin, many ask, Ki Harbi also came Yud Gimel Midas, V'lo Yetzlichu. We don't see instant success when we recite the Yud Gimel Midas. How could the Gemara tell us that there's a promise that there's a treaty, a bris crusa, that they're never rejected. We don't find that when we say the Yud Gimel Midas, we're automatically answered no matter what. So says the Ein Yaakov, a beautiful idea. He quotes the Alshech. Vishomati v'shem livnas hasapir. That says the Ein Yaakov in the name of the Alshech. I heard from a sefer, the livnas hasapir. She'al kein le'omar imru lefonai k'seder hazeh. Ela asu k'seder hazeh. A beautiful diuk from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, this was back in item Beis, when we quoted the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem wrapped himself as if he was a chazan, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu the order of the prayer. So look at the Lashon of the Gemara. Kolzman, what did Hashem tell us? Kolzman shi Yisrael choytim, even if the Jewish people sinned, yasu lefonai k'seder hazeh. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, item Beis, yasu lefonai k'seder hazeh. They should perform this order before me. The Alshech is medayik. It doesn't say they should utter this before me. It's not merely a lip service. It's not just saying words. Hashem didn't promise that if we recite the Yud Gimel Midas. Hashem's expression was, we perform the Yud Gimel Midas. What does it mean that we perform the Yud Gimel Midas? Says the Alshech in the name of the Livnas HaSapir. Shekivan Loimar, it means to say, it's not sufficient to utter the words, to recite the words. Ela ba'asiya, we have to perform these words. What does that mean? We're mentioning the attributes of Hashem. Rachum, that Hashem is merciful. Even if the person doesn't deserve your compassion, you're merciful with him anyway. Chanun, even if the person truly doesn't deserve it, we give him something for nothing. This is how Hashem treats us. Erech Apayim, we withhold anger. We don't snap at the person right away. These are the midos that we're beseeching Hashem with. We're acknowledging that Hashem has these attributes, these 13 attributes. Hashem sustains us and supports us before we sin, after we sin. Hashem tips the scales in our favor. He judges us favorably. These are the attributes that we acknowledge that Hashem has. Says Hashem to the Jewish people, if we perform this Seder, if we emulate these midos, when we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, it's a Musar Sefer. We have to be thinking about what we're saying, and we have to be thinking of ways that we can strive to emulate Hashem in that way. And if we're Tasek a Seder Hazeh, that's when it's Loyasu Reka. So we should be Zoicha with the upcoming days. It's not too far off before we start the Slichas, that we should appreciate this format of the Slichas. It's a Psukei Dezimra, it's a Shmona Esrei, it's a Tachanun, it's a Kaddish Tiskabel, it's a Davar Shebikdusha. The Shechina is in our midst, the power of the Rabbim that we're beseeching Hashem, and the promise that we have, that if we try to live up and to emulate in a small way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes, there's a promise, there's a treaty, that it won't be turned away, it won't be rejected, it won't be turned away empty-handed. Yashikoyach, we should all be zeicha to a ksiva and a chasima toyah.